You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. It's myself, Marucci, alongside me as always, the legendary coach, Mr. Brendan Sir. Coach, how you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, my friend.
Yeah, well, I ain't slept. 6 a.m.
I know. We do this for our great fans, though, in the UK.
100%. 100%, bro. This is the only place that you can go where you're going to get instant content, in-depth, detailed. The people on social media loved what you showed us about Luka Garza the other day.
Really?
People didn't even know about Noah Basketball.
You know, you should Noah Basketball.
We'll send them that clip, and they'll see how many people have now heard of their system. So they give you a little bit of increase on that sponsorship.
Noah Basketball.
That's what we're going to do. So this is what we're doing, right? The play-in games just finished. Literally 3 minutes ago, the Warriors lost to the Phoenix Suns. So now Coach and I are going to do our playoff preview, where any game, any series that we predict to be a sweep will obviously have an upset in game one and render this video redundant. But we're going to do it nonetheless because it's fun. And then we'll come back at the end of the playoffs and see how we did.
Got it.
Sound good, Coach? In the meantime, make sure you download NBA 2K26. Playoff mode is in full swing with Season 6 being out for a couple weeks now. So if you haven't yet, there's all types of rewards in my team, all types of rewards in my player. Make sure you go and get NBA 2K26. So without further ado, Coach, we have the playoff bracket set.
Sorry, I've been going from play-in to playoffs.
Yeah, I was calling the Magic game, the Hornets Magic game. Did you watch that one?
I watched both games tonight. Yes, sir.
Okay, so the Orlando Magic made a statement, right? Backs against the wall, season on the line. We don't go home. Everyone's criticizing them. We criticize them. And we talked a lot about how bad the offense was. Paolo Banchero.
I think that was you, mainly.
We're a team, Coach. Paolo Banchero must have listened, because I believe it was you who said that you don't like him being on the perimeter so much. You want to see him around the basket. And from the opening tip, he made a point to be around the basket.
I want him to be aggressive, driving the ball to the basket and using his size and strength to take advantage of that. And he did.
That's exactly what he did. From the opening tip, he was fantastic. Defensively, he started the game with a block. Orlando's defense was the best I've seen them play defense since over a year ago.
Yeah, they were terrific.
Like, they were back to the Orlando Magic of last year. They were fantastic. The Charlotte Hornets, the lights were way too bright for them. They were not ready. They were absolutely terrible. There's no bright spots from that game. There's obviously a lot of bright spots from this season. They have a lot to build on, and their future is very exciting moving forwards. But that was a horrific showing from the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets, who have the three biggest ever play-in game losses now under their belt. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to them. But yes, congrats to the Orlando Magic getting into the playoffs as the 8 seed. And then the Warriors lost to the Phoenix Suns. A nice little late game ejection for Devin Booker and Draymond Green. And Coach, have we seen the final game that Steve Kerr is ever going to coach?
I was on the phone with our former host, Mr. Armstrong, as that was happening, and having been involved in some games like that, when you hug a player like he did with those two guys, to me, that was the end.
Wow.
You know what I mean? He was very emotional when those two guys were taken out of the game in the last minute and a half, and that's what I read into it. And they've had a great, great run together for years. Four championships, and you know, and the other day I told you he was so emotional after that win the other night and basically said we look like a championship team. And I said to you on our show the other night, Steve Kerr will call it one of his five greatest wins in his career, because it was unexpected coming from 13 down the fourth quarter. And I think it's time to go into sunset for him. Even though he has the ability to come back.
Well, speaking of our former host, Mr. Armstrong, Coach, I don't know if you know this, but our listeners used to have what we called the BJ Armstrong bingo card. because he had certain phrases he would repeat almost every episode. And one of those phrases he loved to throw in was that when it ends, it will end badly. Talking about dynasties and so on and so forth. And not a good way for the Warriors to go out. An injury-riddled season. Obviously, no Jimmy Butler. Steph clearly injured. You know, like, I've never seen a game where Steph Curry didn't move off the ball as little as he did tonight. You know, a lot of standing still because he was clearly dealing with some sort of injury. So a sad way for the Warriors to go out. The Phoenix Suns, who had a great game, advanced to become the 8th seed over in the West. Before we jump into our playoff bracket predictions, do you have anything you want to say about the play-in finales?
You know, it's ironic. The first night was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the home court, as I mentioned to you that night, would prevail.
It's also interesting. Obviously, the two higher seeds won the games today.
I was thinking
about this through the lens of this, right? For the Charlotte Hornets, you're on an emotional high after beating Miami. Overtime, thrilling. You're celebrating like you've won a championship. You're all the way up here, right? And now you've got to come all the way back down here to get ready for this game with just one day off in between. That's tough to do. Whereas the Orlando Magic, you lost. Now you're locked in. You're thinking, how the hell did we lose the first playing game? Same thing with the Phoenix Suns. They believe they should have won against Portland.
Sure.
And now they've got to come, whereas the Warriors, like similar to the Hornets, they're on a mad emotional high. And trying to play the second game after reaching an emotional high like that is very difficult to do.
The mental part of sports, all sports, is incredible. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those things. And the home court gives you confidence. Both teams got off to great starts, and I think that was a big deal. So home crowd, home court, fans, confidence all prevailed tonight, and both teams were resounding winners, big time. Mm-hmm.
So let's get into this playoff prediction. We're going to go through the whole bracket, and you're going to tell me who you think is going to win the series, in how many games, and what you think the X factor for the series will be. So we'll start off in the East with your Detroit Pistons versus the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I like the Pistons, and I like them in five games. And I like the Cade Cunningham and Jalen Duren. I'm also predicting they will win every home game in this series they play, where they have not won a playoff home game since they moved, I believe, to their new arena. So I think this is really good for them, and I hope they get off to a good start. I want to see them get to the second round.
What's the X factor in this series? What's the key thing that you're going to be looking at?
Well, I think, as always, you know, we want players to, I think it's Cade Cunningham, to make sure he's healthy and that he can go. I mean, his health is premium. The Pistons have shown they can win without him, but I don't recommend checking it out in the playoffs.
Yeah. Regular season is very different, as the Charlotte Hornets found out tonight.
And they've got a good team. They play well. I just think they need to continue to play good defense and keep moving the ball. And I think Cade has to be that distributor. He has done a great job. And that's why I think he's, you know, obviously he's an all-NBA player. But I just think he's the key to the series for them.
I think Detroit will win. I think it might take a little bit more than five games because that Magic defense jumped off the page of me. In fact, the last kind of eight games of the regular season when they had their full healthy roster, except for the Boston game, their defense did look very good. And their home court advantage is pretty good. You know, they play a lot better at home. So sure. I've got the Pistons in six. I think the key factor for me in this series is, what does the Orlando offense look like? Because tonight it was their defense that won them the game, right? They still didn't make that many threes. They didn't need to play great offense because they were up so big from so early on.
Yes.
So for me, it's when the game slowed down and you get into a half court, what's your offense looking like then? And the Detroit Pistons have significantly better rim protection than the Charlotte Hornets, who turned to Ryan Kalkbrenner for their hopes of protecting the hoop.
Charlotte's really small, in my opinion. Yeah. You know, and that doesn't bode well when you get to playoff basketball.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. So we've got the Pistons over there, the Cavs and the Raptors, which I'll be calling on Prime today when you listen to this. Who have you got in that series? Because that could be an interesting one.
I like Cleveland. even though Toronto played well in the regular season, I really, really like Cleveland, and I like them in five to six games. Toronto's got a good home court advantage, but I really think Cleveland is going to really come ready to go and make up for last year.
Yeah, the Raptors won all three meetings in a regular season, but that was because they played their first three games in October, November, and November.
Yeah.
So very early on when the Cleveland Cavaliers were still a mess. They now got James Harden. I've got the Cavaliers in five games for this one. Yeah. What do you think is the X factor for this series, Coach?
I think it's, again, I think that big men have to play. Mobley, and if Jared Allen is healthy, I think those guys, because I think that's where they're lacking. Toronto is in inside play. So I think they try to rely on speed, quickness, and defense, transition offense. So I think they have to take advantage of the big guys. And I really think Harden's going to be huge. Huge.
I agree. I think this is a good chance for the Cavaliers to build some momentum before a potential second round against Detroit. So for me, the X factor is how quickly can Cleveland take care of business? That's what I'm looking at. Can you, when you have the chance to put a team on the ropes, can you throw the haymaker? Because we've seen James Harden in big moments in the playoffs in his career not be able to throw that haymaker sometimes. So
it's usually in the deciding game.
Yeah, exactly. So now you got a chance to sweep him. You got a chance to beat him at five.
Yeah.
You know, but Toronto intrigues me. Toronto does intrigue me. I wouldn't be surprised if it was more difficult than we're alluding to.
And I like their team. I just think that they still haven't got the size they need yet.
Yeah. The Knicks and the Hawks. I've seen a couple of people picking Atlanta for this one, but who do you have?
I'm going with New York in seven.
Yeah, I think this will be the closest first round series.
But I think
I can't wait for Knicks fans to clip that in a week from now when they sweep them.
Yeah, but I think the Knicks could also get them in six. But I like the Knicks in the series, even though I have tremendous respect for the Hawks and the way they played. They've been one of the best teams in the league. In the last 2 months, I really like their team. I think everything is good about them. I just think the Knicks' pressure on them is huge. And I think they've at least had two straight conference finals to give them. They know how to play under pressure.
Well, the Knicks and the Hawks had a rivalry, but there's no Trae Young anymore. So the Knicks fans have no one to chant against for being bold. For me, I've got the Knicks in seven. The X factor for me in this series is Dyson Daniels. Because we know the havoc he can wreak on defense. The question is, will he be played off the floor on the offensive side of the basketball? If he's not knocking down wide open shots, it allows the Knicks defense to cheat off him and really make things difficult for the big wings trying to go downhill, trying to get to the paint. So that's my thing. If Dyson Daniels can knock down shots, that's huge for Atlanta.
Good call.
But we've seen guys like Rudy Gobert, who's one of the greatest defenders of a generation, be played off the floor in the playoffs because offensively, you're not doing anything. So, Dyson Daniels, can you get your three-point shot looking good? The next series in the East is the Boston Celtics versus the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, the X factor there is Joel Embiid.
Yes, if and when he returns.
Yeah, and I agree. It's more if than when. I don't expect them to be in this at all because, you know, appendectomy, you know, the idea of cutting one's stomach open and then recovery, it's not as easy as it sounds, even though it's one of the easier operations to get back, walk around very quickly, within days. But I think to actually play in a series like this, difficult. I got Boston in five.
I have Boston in maybe seven. And the reason why, the Boston Celtics have this habit of making life more difficult for themselves than it needs to be. Me and BJ used to laugh about this on the show. They won't start playing well until they have to start playing well. And I've seen them in previous years in the first and second round lose games unnecessarily. And I think Tyrese Maxey is that good. And Vijay Edgecombe is that promising of a player that they could steal a couple games from the Celtics.
They are good. Absolutely. It's, you know, Boston should handle him in five, but I understand your point.
Based on history, more so than actually analyzing this series so far. I'm also intrigued to see...
One caveat, though, I want to mention quickly. Joe Mazzulla is not the same coach he was 1 or 2 years ago. This guy, he's the most improved coach, and he's the best coach.
Well, this is what I was about to say.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see if when the Celtics have a game where their three-point shot isn't falling, like they did against the Knicks last year, will he go away from that philosophy? Because he didn't against the Knicks and it cost them until it was too late. Will he go away from that philosophy? That's what I'm intrigued to see. I'm also intrigued to see Jason Tatum because he's had a few games under his belt during the regular season. Now, can he step up and become that superstar that he believes he is and that we've seen him be? That's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out. Let's switch over to the West, Coach. The OKC Thunder and the Phoenix Suns. I've got OKC in a clean sweep.
Wow. Yeah, I like OKC in five just because they've had so many guys hurt this year. OKC, I just hope they can get through injury free. Plus, Phoenix they've got terrific home court. And I think when they played them a week ago out there, they beat them by 30. Phoenix beat them by 30. So I just think that, you know, there's possibility for slippage in to get a game.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, the other factor is that OKC had been resting for a week and Phoenix has played two play-in games.
Sometimes that's not
the rust might be an issue. But for me, the X factor is Devin Booker because tonight, I don't know if he looks fully healthy.
I didn't like the way he was moving out there.
Yep. I didn't like the way he was moving in this game or the last game. It wasn't very what you would expect from your superstar player in Devin Booker. So that for me is the X factor in that series. We know what OKC is going to do. They're going to play great defense. Shea's going to orchestrate a great offense. So what's Devin Booker able to bring to the table? The next series in the West, the LA Lakers versus the Houston Rockets. It's funny, right? So I'm doing this other podcast for Prime on Monday, and the social media team at Prime have given me a list of topics they want me to talk about on the show, right? They also, hilariously in the list, asked me to do a segment about Bron and Bronny and the best father-son duos in the NBA, and I just looked at it and was, okay. But they asked me also to give football comparisons for each series in the playoffs. And I was looking at this Lakers and Houston matchup. And I said, it's like watching Inter Miami versus Al Nassr, I believe is the team in Saudi Arabia. The late stage career of Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo playing against each other.
Wow.
Because that is what I'm looking at. LeBron James and Kevin Durant. Two guys who at one point were going head to head for MVP race and, you know, all of these accolades. Now it's, these guys are a little bit old. Let's see what they still got in the tank and how much they can lead these teams. Both teams, injuries affecting them. The Lakers, obviously, Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic. And I believe that it was this podcast who was the first one to report that Luka Doncic may return earlier than expected. Right. And interestingly, 8 hours after the podcast came out, Shams tweeted about something very similar. So, well done, Shams. Almost got us, but you didn't. So if the Lakers can extend this series a little bit, Luka may be able to return. The schedule is very favorable to the Lakers in terms of the spacing out of the games. The Houston Rockets, obviously without Fred VanVleet, as they have been all season long. Also, Steven Adams is a big miss for them. So
and KD is questionable game one with a knee injury. Knee injury.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Knee injury in practice.
Oh, wow. Yes. So who do you have in this series and in how many games?
I have Houston in five.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think they learned their lesson last year. The pressure is on Houston in amazing ways. As you mentioned, and went over all the injuries to the Lakers, et cetera. Houston, having lost in the first round to a Golden State team last year, I just think that they got to show they're ready. They've had a week to prepare. I just like them to get at least one game in LA this weekend, this week on this trip, and then to get two at home, which they didn't do during the year, and then to get a game in LA. So that would be very disappointing to the Laker faithful, but I think it's possible. The Lakers are tremendous, you know. They have so much going against them. They've had a really good year, and I feel terrible for them because they really, I thought, had a chance to win the first round with home court advantage. They worked.
Yeah, the way they were playing in March was spectacular.
They worked their ass off to get the 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got Houston in 6. You know, it's tough. And even if Luka does return, it doesn't matter what stem cells you put in. That's still tough to recover from in time to play playoff basketball. And if he does return, will he be able to play defense? We know he'll be able to play offense even on one leg, but will he be able to hold up defensively, or will he just be hunted down like we've seen teams do before? The closest series to call, and in fact, the one series I cannot call because I believe it will go down to the end of a game 7, is the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I have that as a 6 or 7 game series.
Ooh.
And I've got Denver winning.
Okay. Okay.
In 7. I just think that I think it's the best matchup in the first round, as you mentioned.
By far.
Yeah. And I just think Denver, you know, they've won 12 in a row going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I just really like them. I just like the way they're playing. I give everyone a lot of credit there going through all the injuries and stuff. I just think if everyone, and I say this asterisk just like last year, if Aaron Gordon can stay healthy, you know, my goodness, they need him so badly. And Jamal Murray has had just a fabulous year.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the Joker's going to play. He's going to do his thing. So I just like them.
Okay. Yeah. I hear it. Nuggets in 7. I can go with that. I could also see the Timberwolves winning a game 7. I mean,
of course.
For me, it's tough to call because Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves have this ability to raise their game when it's a high stakes matchup, which all the regular season data and everything goes out the window when you get to a playoff game, especially an elimination game. So that's the toughest for me to call. I'll go with Denver. But we've been pretty aligned so far, Coach. I don't think we've had one we've disagreed on.
The reason is we're experts.
Allegedly. Allegedly. What's the X factor on this series, though? Aaron Gordon's health.
Aaron Gordon, for me, and Anthony Edwards on the other side. He hasn't played now since he was hurt. So this is his first time back. So, you know, I want to see if he can hold up. And he's always, if he's not at the top of his game, they're in trouble. Because he usually does superhuman stuff.
Yeah. The final series is the San Antonio Spurs hosting the Portland Trailblazers. Who do you have in that, and in how many games?
I have San Antonio beating a really good Portland team. I really am impressed by them and what they've done this year, considering. And I've got them in 5 games. I've got them dropping a game in Portland. It's a tough place to play. It's a great building. And this team is not playoff tested. So that's why I give them a game.
I'm giving San Antonio in 4 games.
Yeah.
The Portland Trailblazers aren't playoff tested, but they do have guys like Jrue Holiday over there who have significant championship experience. But the reason I have San Antonio winning so dominantly is they hear all the noise about not experience and so on and so forth. I think they'll really come out and look to make a statement. I also believe Victor Wembanyama could take his game to a whole new level in this playoffs, and we might see him unleash a version of himself that is terrifying for the entire NBA.
Yeah, I'm concerned about him that getting hurt. I really am, because in the playoffs it's a whole new level of physicality. He plays so hard. If he gets injured in the playoffs, they're in trouble.
Oh, in serious trouble.
You know, but the big thing is, I like that they have three centers now, and Luke Hornet's been one of the better backup centers in the league. So I like them. I talked to their associate head coach Sean Sweeney yesterday, and he feels great about their team. And the key to that, them, is their defense. Their defense creates their offense. So if their perimeter defense is outstanding as always, then they'll be fine.
I agree. The interesting thing about that, coach, is we've picked all of the higher ranked teams.
Yes.
If there's going to be an upset out west, we're saying it's going to be the Timberwolves. Like, well, actually, no, we haven't, because the Lakers are ranked higher than Houston. So with the exception of that matchup. But in the East, if you think there's going to be an upset, if you had to call one upset, who would you call?
Atlanta.
Mm.
I think Atlanta's really good. And I think they showed that they're capable of going and winning on the road and stuff like that. I just think they have great balance. They got three great guards. They really can all score. You know, they have a really, and Jalen Johnson's, to me, he's one of the 10 best players in the league.
Wow. Okay. Well, some other news that broke this week was that Kay Cunningham and Luka Doncic are eligible for their NBA awards. I just think you should just scrap the rule after year one. If you're going to make exceptions for guys, what's the point in the rule? I'm not saying that they shouldn't have made the exceptions. I'm just saying, just get rid of the rule then. Let the voters use their common sense.
Yeah. Well, no, that you know, who's voting? Media.
For MVP is media.
No, media. No, for all the awards, it's media.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can't use common sense if you're talking about media, okay?
Yeah, those media guys. Yeah, hey.
No, they're very shaky, okay? You're a media guy. I'm still a coach.
I'm a media guy. I'm a gangster.
The media guys are very shaky, so we can't use that. I just saw some media predictions of awards, and I just saw some of the worst ones of all time, especially for Rookie of the Year. You voted today by 3 o'clock.
Yep.
And all these six experts that had NBA ties, media, all voted Con Knipple. Not one person voted for Cooper Flagg. And if you looked at his last 12 games, that's all it's a whole season.
Yeah.
It's not, the kid's had a really good year. He's a really good year, but you can't compare him to the other guy.
Mm.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. The other piece of news that broke this week is Doc Rivers allegedly retiring from coaching.
Yeah.
After parting ways with the Milwaukee Bucks. So shout out to Doc for a legendary career.
Yeah. Yeah. He's 26 years of coaching after 13, 14 years of playing. I drafted him. I coached him for 8 years. Talked him into getting into coaching. Mm-hmm. He absolutely loved it. Thrilled for him. He's had a terrific career. He's had to coach good teams, bad teams. He started out with the Magic when they were rebuilding after Chuck and I left there. And then he had a horrible time when he took the Boston Celtics over with Danny Ainge. Almost got fired, then turned him into world champs. And then went to the Clippers. They had really good years, but they couldn't get over the top. Went to Philadelphia with high expectations. And then Milwaukee, took over a team that was pretty loaded, and they just didn't reach through different reasons what they did. But you never look back; you just look forward. I'm really happy for him and what he's done, and I'm excited in August to go to his Hall of Fame induction in Springfield, Mass.
Yeah, if this is the end of his coaching career, he retires as the sixth most winning coach in regular season history with 1,194 wins. Next on the list of the active coaches is Rick Carlisle with 1,012, and then Eric Spoelstra with 830. So Doc Rivers, amazing career. A lot of fans have negative sentiments towards him, but congratulations on all the success.
I always say two things. One, anyone that's elected president of the United States, they never get 50% of the votes even. So you're going to have half of the people that like you and don't like you in leadership positions. And then the people that you beat, they don't like you, the people, you know, and you know, so, I mean, but I know him more as the person, and the person's phenomenal. And
I've never heard anyone who knows Doc Rivers say anything bad about him.
Yeah, incredible guy. And I think I might have told you this story. I don't know if our listeners heard it on our podcast, is that years ago, I tried to talk him into becoming a coach. I told him all of his great qualities, why he could be a coach, a great coach. And he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Brendan, go F yourself. If you think I'm going to do what you do, you're effing crazy." And I when last week when he got inducted, you know, nominated.
2,060 games later.
Yeah.
Coached.
And I told him when he was chosen last week for the Hall of Fame, I said, "Do you remember that conversation?" He said, "Yeah, I should have listened to you." Yeah. I said, "You did. You did really good, brother." So I'm happy for him.
Yeah. Shout out to Doc. That's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. I hope you all enjoy the playoffs. We'll be here for regular updates for all of you guys.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say, Coach?
Well, I was going to go. I had my all NBA first, second, and third teams. I know you're exhausted.
I forgot about that.
I have my defensive team first and second, but we'll do those in another show.
I forgot about that, and I also did not prepare mine. So we'll save those for the next.
That's okay. That's why.
It's half six.
I'm a good assistant coach to you. That's
my brother. I'm a terrible head coach. I did not come up with a scout report. I didn't come up with a game plan. I just came for the vibes. I am going to call it that because I've got to be up in 4 hours to get back to the studio because I'm calling the first playoff game, which I'm looking forward to. So if you're in any English-speaking country outside the United States, tune into Amazon Prime and you can hear more from me.
In the NBA, we would say basically, Mo, that you're soft, okay, and you can't handle it, okay? But that's okay.
The difference is, Coach, the difference is, right, the difference is this. I'm not being paid an NBA head coach's salary. And if they were paying me $6 million a year to do this, I would podcast 24 hours a day. If anyone out there wants to pay me $6 million a year, I will sit on a 24-hour live stream every day and talk about basketball. Unfortunately, I'm not making $6 million yet.
Wow. This sounds like something. We'll work on that for you, okay? Get some rest, brother. Get some rest. Have a good call.
Appreciate you, Coach. Yes, yes, yes. Looking forward to the playoffs. Let us know your predictions on social media or join the Discord. And until next time, get buckets.